This is The Agenda from News Radio 560, KPQ, and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern are open for discussion.
Joining us on the program, first off, we welcome Chelan PUD Commissioner Randy Smith, and we want to let folks know that there are just a few hours remaining to help provide some input as the PUD works on its strategic planning, and thank you for joining us today, Commissioner.
It's great to be with you.
Well, if the folks want to take advantage of the opportunity, there's a nice little incentive, and we'll tell them about that here in just a moment. But, you can't do strategic planning without the ratepayers' input on this, and this has been going on for a little while, but we are coming to the last day today.
That is correct. The deadline for people to submit their comments and input into our strategic planning process is midnight tonight, so there's less than 12 hours left. But those who submit their comments and input are automatically entered in a drawing for an Apple Fitbit. And I can tell you from personal experience, not with a Fitbit, my wife got an Apple Watch. It is a fun, I won't call it a toy, but it's a fun device that does a lot of things for you. So there's great incentive there to get those suggestions in.
Now, so you want to answer online, it's ourpublicpower.org, or you can answer by mail. At this point, I'd be going with the online option with that deadline looming.
That is correct.
So what are the kinds of things that you want to hear from ratepayers?
Well, you know, I want to go back to the last 5 years and say to the public, your input has been so incredibly valuable, and we did this 5 years ago, this same type of activity, and the people said to us, we want you to continue to pay down debt. We want you to reinvest in your assets. We would really be interested in free passes for our parks, for day passes. We also want you, the PUD, to continue to build out the fiber optic system. That was all a result of last time's strategic planning process, and we're looking for that same type of input. What we, as a PUD, under our authority, and it has to be within our authority, can do for the next 5 years that will truly benefit the people of Chelan County. I mean, the people really spoke loud and clear 5 years ago, and that was just marvelous input. So I can never say enough about how engaged the public has been with their utility over the last several years. It makes our job just a lot easier as commissioners to hear from the public.
That was, because frankly, it's a lot harder for people to go to a meeting or something like that. But here's a way that you can provide lasting input that's going to have ramifications over the next 5 years. So the first 5 years, that was the first 5 year cycle of a strategic plan, correct?
Correct, right. And now we're into the next cycle, which will be starting next year after we receive all of the input. And I really don't know what the input's going to be, but we've had topic teams working on, you know, do we continue to reinvest in infrastructure, fiber optics? What do we do about relicensing of Rock Island Dam? Because we're coming up in this next 5 year period, we're already working on it. Michelle Smith at our utility has got the lead on working on what a new license for Rock Island Dam will be after 50 years with the old license. And so we start this early. I just need to share with you that over the last several years, our utility, along with others who have hydro, worked very diligently to craft a piece of legislation at the federal level that would create the opportunity for utilities like us to get credit for early action in our licensing process. And that requires just a little explanation. We do a lot of repairs and maintenance and upgrades on our dams every year. And we look back and we say, well, you know, in our last license, we were required to do this, but we did all this other stuff with our dams that we weren't required to do. And we should get credit because we're being good stewards of our hydro facilities. Well, Michelle Smith made a presentation to us earlier this week about the application that we just recently made to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission for credit for early action for items over and above the previous license in the amount of $710 million. That's how much more we have done or will do by the expiration of the license in 2027 that we think we should get credit for. And that credit means that rather than getting a 40 or a 42-year license, hopefully we will get a full 50-year license, which is the maximum allowed by law. And that makes a big difference to all of us here in Chelan County, knowing that we have that license, our ability to keep our rates low in that process. So I, you know, it didn't garner a lot of attention, but what Michelle presented to me spoke loudly about years of work that we've been doing as a utility to make our utility that more, much more stable for future generations. You know, we commissioners are charged with looking out way beyond the 5-year time frame to the 10, 15, 20. Our role is to look out and see what we can do to make sure this utility is the best it can be in perpetuity, actually. So that was, for me, really exciting. Actually, even more exciting than knowing that we were reaffirmed as a double A-plus by our bond rating agencies, which puts us in the top handful of the nation. That's something that we're really, really proud of. That's here and now, and that means when we have to go out to the bond market, which we probably will in a few years because of all the upgrades we're doing to Rock Island Dam and Rocky Reach Dam, we'll need to be borrowing again. We'll be able to borrow at a less expensive rate, which when you look at that, that helps keep our rates as low as possible. And so I'm really proud of our staff and what they've done to keep all our financials in order. And it's more than just financials. It's the bond rating agencies look at the entire utility and say, all of these things are great strengths that you have. Our power sales, the way we've got it structured, a variety of things that they say, you guys are doing a good job at this moment in time. And we're proud of that.
We're talking with Chelan PUD Commissioner Randy Smith. Back to the credit for work done during the license period. So has this been approved? Is this accomplished, or do you still need some approvals yet?
We have to. The application was submitted within the last couple of weeks, and we have not heard back yet. The belief is that they would that we will get approved, but we haven't gotten that approval just yet. But we will should know in the next few, I imagine the next few weeks. I did not specifically ask that question. So we'll hear shortly whether that early action credit gets approved by FERC.
So Chelan PUD would be the first to apply under this legislation?
We believe so. And we're really proud of that. You know, we actually, in all honesty, when we started working on it, we knew we had a lot of work to do on Rock Island Dam, and we've got a young lady at our utility, Suzanne Grisellen. I don't know if you've met Suzanne before, but she works federal government affairs, and she's very good at what she does. And she's worked with our congressional delegation on both sides of the aisle and with a lot of other people that have hydro throughout the United States to work this legislation, and it took literally years to get it passed with Kathy McMorris Rogers and Maria Cantwell, so bipartisan effort to get it passed on behalf of hydropower because we are such a big hydropower center here in the Pacific Northwest. So it's been exciting to watch the process, even though it's, you know, sort of been in some terms like watching paint dry. It just takes forever, but that's how our federal legislation seems to work. If it works, we're glad that it worked in this case.
So you had mentioned for you getting the credit for early application is kind of like the gold star. The good grade comes with the S&P AA plus stable rating, and that's amongst the best of any public utility district or any utility in the country. So You're certainly excited about that. And again, explain how keeping these stable financial ratings save a typical ratepayer here in Chelan.
The single biggest way it saves money is when we go out to the bond market and have to borrow money to rebuild some of our facilities. We can go to the people that will buy those bonds and say, we're a AA plus and we deserve a lower borrowing rate of interest. That's the single biggest way. And, you know, rather, it might be a half a percent less on $50 or $100 million of borrowing. That adds up to real money real fast. And so that's the single most important way that it helps the people here in Chelan County.
And of course, kind of just tying it back to where we began, paying down debt has been one of the chief things in the strategic plan. You're asking for more input on that. There is a deadline of this evening if you'd like to answer online at ourpublicpower.org and help commissioners shape the next five-year strategic plan. Then once you get this input, when are you expecting to adopt the next five-year strategic plan, Commissioner?
Well, we'll be having meetings throughout the summer to look at the results and evaluate, and I think staff is prepared in early fall to make a proposal to us for what a strategic plan might look like. And once again, we commissioners will be engaged in conversations about the various components all the way, but when we get to that moment when the whole package is ready to be presented to the public, we'll have a final opportunity for public input, and I imagine early fall we will be approving a strategic plan for the next 5 years.
Interestingly, going on today, in fact, my wife is getting a chance to participate representing her employer. It's kind of an all-day work study session involving various sectors of the community to kind of come up with some ideas of what to do with your headquarters property in conjunction with a lot of the different entities that are maybe could be stakeholders in that building in the future. Later in the year, in the fall, I understand there's going to be kind of a public presentation on some of those ideas. So several years down the road, when you're out at the new headquarters, combined service center out in Old Station, the community will no longer head just down the street from us here at our studios here, and there'll be a different use for that facility someday. That's under study today with a lot of folks in the community participating in that meeting. Obviously, you're here with us, and thanks for the update. Anything, any final thoughts before we let you go today on the program?
Well, just to let everybody know that growth has been big the last couple of years in Chelan County, and we're continuing to grow. And as you see around the county, a number of new substations going up. Keep that in mind that people are moving here for a lot of reasons, and one of those reasons is we have amongst the lowest price electricity in the entire United States, and we're proud of it, and we want to keep it that way.
And I don't know when you last covered it in a meeting, but are we keeping that faucet on up in the hills, or is it melting off pretty quick?
We're going to have less water coming down this year by a fair amount. I mean, the Chelan and Wenatchee River basins were well below 80%, maybe around 70, and I think the Columbia River is below 90. It's maybe in the low 80s as a percentage of runoff. But we're okay in terms of our electricity for this year. I worry about my farmer friends up the Wenatchee Valley here. I think it's going to be a tight year for water, but hopefully we'll get through it with no damage in the agricultural sector.
All right. Well, you're a farmer yourself.
That's right. That's right. Well, I've leased my orchard out, but I watch those cherries every day, and they're getting, you know, I know the guy that's leasing from me is just praying for no rain for the next month. So that's I'll pray right along with him, I think.
Yeah, he's got cherries, I assume.
Yep, he does.
All right. Well, yes. We'll thank Chelan PUD Commissioner Randy Smith for joining us today on the update. And again, if you'd like to provide some public input on the strategic plan, that website that I had mentioned is our, O-U-R, publicpower.org, and you just might win a Fitbit for your efforts. Thank you, Commissioner Smith.
Okay, thank you.
We appreciate the update. 12:31 now on the KPQ afternoon, well, the agenda. I'm used to being on with you at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. This is the agenda, though, and Chelan County Commissioner Kevin Overbay joining us next on the program.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560, KPQ, KPQ.com, and streaming on Alexa or the KPQ mobile app.
Chelan County Commissioner Kevin Overbay is with us here and going to touch on the Stamilton Squilchuk Recreation Plan. That is a thick report, Commissioner Overbay.
It is. It's about 81 pages.
Then a little later on, still have him in the studio. We want to talk a little bit about where the situation sits with the regional jail, but let's talk about a wonderful place to recreate, trying to balance the needs of those that like to get out, maybe on a snowmobile or something like that, or motorized vehicles, and those that like a little more peaceful and quieter endeavor, and balancing those needs. And where are we at in the process right now? And getting to a final decision that, you know, the best deal, usually a compromise, not everyone's totally happy, but you have to agree at the end of the day with a plan and move forward. So bring us an overview.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, just kind of give you a little overview of the Stamilton Squilchuk Recreation Plan. This was actually an endeavor that started right after, not too long after the Nanum Ridge to Columbia River Recreation Access Plan that was adopted by WDFW and DNR. And so that was more of a 30,000-foot viewpoint of that particular area. This actually kind of drills it down a little bit more, you know, kind of gets a little bit more down in the weeds, so to speak. And this plan has been almost 3 years in the making. It started around in 2016, putting together a recreational planning group that was made up of several entities, you know, different recreational group members, citizen members, members of the Stamilton Partnership. And they've worked really diligently and have been very engaged over the last, you know, 3 years putting this plan together. And so basically what this is a non-binding plan. This is more a suggestion of how things should be managed, you know, whether it's resource pieces, trails, you know, to also balance recreation with wildlife and conservation habitats. And so those conservation and wildlife needs are something that we really need to be prioritizing, because once those go away, we'll never get them back. And so, you know, that this is something that we want to make sure that future generations have the opportunity to enjoy. But how do we balance, you know, that 17,000-acre basin, you know, with the recreational needs, the agricultural needs, the water resource needs, the wildlife needs? And so this plan kind of addresses that and takes into consideration all of those pieces. As a part of this plan, what they did is they actually split that area up into three zones. And each zone has its own particular pieces that they talk to, you know, be a little bit more intense recreational purposes in maybe zone one than maybe zone three. And it really takes all those things into consideration. So what we've had is we've had a couple of public hearings on this piece. Realistically, there's really one topic, which is basically one page of the plan, roughly, that has come to the forefront on this, and that's the motorized versus non-motorized winter recreation. And that is one page out of an 80-page document that really is kind of the bone of contention right now, where you have different user groups that are wanting to enjoy their recreational experience in different ways. And how do we meld all of those opportunities into one particular area without, you know, diminishing the abilities for either group to be able to enjoy that to its fullest extent? We're talking about public lands. For us as a commission, if we adopt this plan, it will be applicable to the county lands that are owned, but it's not necessarily applicable. It would only be if a private landowner or if a state or federal entity wished to adopt that same mechanism. So that's kind of what we're doing now, going through that process. One of the things that basically I wanted to do was slow this thing down a little bit and say, hey, let's take a look at the other 79 pages as well. And so we'll be doing a workshop on July 1st. That afternoon, we'll be working with our natural resources director Mike Caputa and Aaron McKay. who was one of the folks that was actually the lead on this particular plan, and actually going through the plan and taking a look, because we want to make sure that we have a great foundational base, you know, when we if and when we adopt this plan, that moving forward, you know, it's something that can be built upon, but our successors won't go back and look, you know, 20 years from now and say, what were these guys thinking? So we want to make sure that that's something that is going to stand the test of time.
Now, I thought a decision was pending just maybe even a couple of weeks ago. So this has been slowed down a little bit.
It really has. You know, we got through our last public hearing, I believe, was June 10th, and we thought that we'd be able to make a decision on June 17th and announce that. But as we got a little deeper into this and received more testimony and have received a lot of emails from both sides of the motorized, non-motorized piece, you know, the one piece that really came glaring was the fact that there are other elements in here, roadway uses, campgrounds, trailheads, shooting areas, non-shooting areas. There's just a ton of elements that are contained within this plan that haven't even been addressed by the public. And I don't know that the public even has gotten past or even understand the complexity of that piece. And so we wanted to make sure that every element of this plan was looked at, you know, holistically, as well as being able to take that little deeper dive to ensure that we are transparent, but also that everybody has a chance to weigh in on this. And we really do encourage folks to really take a look at the plan and then provide their comments to us, because we really want to do the right thing.
So, decision after July 1st, because that's what there is going to be a public, that'll be a public hearing on July 1st?
No, it's actually going to be a workshop.
Still a workshop stage, okay.
So we may have a series of workshops, maybe similar to what we did with the Shoreline Master Plan. That was quite a large document. And for us to be able to, digest that whole plan in one sitting is just impossible. And so what we will probably do is break this up by section. And when we do have a public hearing on that, we will go through the sections so that we as commissioners understand the plan in its entirety and all the nuances of it. And then what we will do is we will go ahead and break it out by section and have public hearings on those particular sections so we can actually hear from the users, our community, the stewards of these properties, and hear their feedback on this particular piece. And so that way we can make great educated decisions moving forward.
So what's at stake here? Just kind of getting it wrong, I guess. You did say it's non-binding, though. So you just don't want to have a plan that you're constantly tinkering with. Is that really it?
Well, yeah, what's at stake here really is conflict. You know, whether it's land use conflict, you know, as far as, you know, what's going to be in that place. Conservation, the water resource and the wildlife conservation piece, natural resource piece, as well as the recreational opportunity. And so, you know, to be able to have a managed plan, a plan that everybody can use as a guide on how we're going to do future planning and how we're going to do future development, you know, within that basin is going to be paramount. You know, when we've had a lot of, partnerships with both state and federal partners with regards to this piece. Matter of fact, this plan was funded by a National Park Service River Trails and Conservation Assistance Program, and they actually had staff that came out and assisted us with the facilitation of this plan. But it was also funded through, like, the Community Foundation and Our Valley, Our Future. And so there's a lot of folks that are really interested in this and have a stake in it. And so we want to make sure that we do our due diligence and make sure that when we're done, it's the right thing.
We're talking with Chelan County Commissioner Kevin Overbay. I was looking at your agenda for commissioners this week, and it did say yesterday it was Department of Fish and Wildlife leading, I think, you and Commissioner Boogert on a Stimmelt Wildlife Tour, or a Stimmelt Tour. Uh-huh. Did you get to go up into the area yesterday?
We did. Bob could not make it, but they did have their executive management team, what they call their EMT, and that is actually their the director and assistant director of wildlife, as well as all the regional directors. And so it's their upper echelon management team. We're in town for a two-day conference that they have, a retreat, and was hosted by our regional director here, actually, is Jim Brown, and kind of hosted that here in our community. And so I had a chance to kind of give them a welcome on Wednesday, on the 19th. And then we had an opportunity, our Natural Resources Department, Aaron McKay and Mike Caputa, did a great tour of the Stimmelt and Squilchuk Basins for them. Had an opportunity to take a look at some of the projects that they had actually an investment in. So the reclamation of Stephens Meadow, where we actually have rerouted a green dot road around that meadow and have reclaimed that meadow that used to be, vehicles used to drive through the meadow and tear it up, and that's been reclaimed. They had a chance to take a look at, some of the the things that maybe are not so great, and that was Lily Lake. Right now there's a lot of trash and a lot of overuse and abuse of that particular site. And so they got to see both the good, the things that are actually being done, as well as the not necessarily so good. And these are folks that also run the programs. And so they had a chance to actually kind of see, taste, feel, and touch, you know, what their work maybe in Olympia, you know, where they see it on paper, they actually got to see it in person. And so it was a great great opportunity for them. And I had an opportunity to send them home with some cherries. So
there you go. All right.
Hey. Well, represent.
the Chelan County commissioners also faced with what do we do with our regional jail? Of course, there have been some legal ramifications. The Corrections Officers Union very unhappy about working conditions. And I know you're trying, as a board, to try and improve that situation. There's a plan in place. In fact, Wenatchee World doing an article this week that is highlighting some of the elements of this whole story, but you're quoted in there as well. But you know, we can't just build a brand new jail, and so the tack right now is to maybe consider, let's get this thing in functional order to know just literally where we stand. We've got this 35 years old.
Yeah, 35.
To kind of get an assessment of where we're at, get this thing in order, and then address our future. Is that fair enough?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny you made the comment about the union and so forth. And it's been a great opportunity for us. As you know, last July, Bill Larson came in as our, at that point, was our acting director, and just kind of an interim role that he came in, and we had planned on him being there about 6 months. And the one thing we asked Bill to do is, hey, look, we don't want you to mince words. We don't want you to sugarcoat anything. Give us an overall assessment of the jail. Now, give us the good, the bad, and the ugly, you know, about what's going on over there. And he was able to do that. He took a three-month period and was able to assess a lot of elements of that piece and then brought it back to us. And he also brought it back. There was a $1.3 million organizational piece that he provided to us in a 38-page decision paper and kind of laid it all down. And knowing that, you know, we didn't have the funding to implement everything, it's like, okay, can we prioritize these pieces? And we've been able to do that. And so it's has culminated in an organizational restructuring. And so the assistant director position was eliminated, and we actually had two chief positions that were put in, chief of operations and chief administration. And then we just recently created another position underneath the administration chief, which is a support services sergeant position, and we also have a professional services sergeant position. Support services is responsible for the maintenance, the fleet, programmatic pieces. The professional services is internal investigations, hiring, recruitment, and policies and training. And so these were all gaps that had been identified, you know, training gaps, policy gaps, the whole bit. And so we're well on our way of moving the ball forward. The upside of this is the culture has changed. Bill has instituted over the course of his time there, the culture has done a 180. We have, matter of fact, the association worked with Bill with regards to cost savings measures. And so it's just they've got a great relationship that's working. And when we get all these other pieces in place, you know, we are already addressing some of the internal components, cameras. We have a person that's actually integrated now, working on that camera piece, checking to see our current system. Can we utilize it, or do we have to completely replace it? Or is it something that we can basically take a look at a place where we can have one camera with four eyes versus four cameras in that place? So to make sure that we do the best as far as cost savings. The other piece is the pass-through doorways that are soon to be implemented. We've got elevator work that's completely being revamped. You know, it's a 35-year-old elevator, so it's completely being redone. So the commissioners are committed and dedicated to making sure that this jail functions in the manner by which it needs to function and actually exceeds expectations. You know, it's taken a long time to get it here to the position it's in, but we are committed to making sure that we're able to turn that corner and actually get it in the positive direction, and that's what we're doing.
So a jail is about the most expensive kind of building that you can build, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of different components to it, security components to it. You have to make it, you have to proof it to individuals that want to do whatever they can with the time that they're there. So
to have a state-of-the-art facility, we'd have to go to the taxpayers, would we not?
Yes, we'd probably, have to go to the taxpayers or, with a bond.
I don't blame you for gulping at the thought of that. But
yeah.
That's really kind of the rock and the hard place that we're at, correct?
Well, it really is, because we have to take a look at our aged facility, which really wasn't built for the type of guests that we have now. You know, a lot of the folks that are there are felony. You know, it was built for misdemeanors. And, as we continue to see both substance abuse, opioid addiction pieces, as well as mental behavior health issues that continually arise in our community, we really need to be taking a look at, is this the proper facility for us to have? Is there a ancillary piece that can be a part of this through a diversion piece or whatever? And these are conversations we'll be having in the near future. But also with regards to our facility, is there components that we can put into this that's not going to hit the taxpayer as hard as what a new facility would be? You know, when we get these other things in place, we'll have the opportunity to really do that deep dive and see what's going to be the best moving into the future. But there are a lot of things internally that still are in the process of being put to the standards that they need to be that are the priorities right now.
What would the price tag be to kind of get it up to, is adequate the word, or to implement all of the things that Bill Larson identified in his plan?
Well, his plan was strictly organizational and structural. That was a $1.3 million price tag. As far as the facility goes, I wouldn't even want to venture a guess at this time. That's where we need to do that deep dive and actually say, is the existing facility worth continually to maintain and upgrade, or is it better for us to take a look at this as a new facility? You know, it's not a conversation we've had yet, but it is something that we're thinking about, trying to put these other elements into place.
Right. Well, appreciate the conversation today with Chelan County Commissioner Kevin Overbay. As always, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.